My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman. We will be waiting for you here on Radio Free Brooklyn. You are listening to Fallen Woman, and I am Velocity Child. I am here with a very intense, spicy, rue kind of a crew. Juliet Jeske.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Legs Malone.
Hi.
Machine Dazzle.
Bonsoir,
mon ami. And Femme Appeal.
Ciao, Bella.
Yay, Italy.
And it is Gay Pride Month, and this brings me back to something we were talking about a bit earlier. You brought up an interesting topic. With the work that you do, you're exposed to a bit of it, quite a bit. Tell me what that topic is.
So I work at a day program in downtown Brooklyn, and we service people, adults, with developmental disabilities. So most of them are on the spectrum of autism. Some have Down syndrome. Quite a few have been diagnosed bipolar personality disorder and schizophrenia. But the other thing that I'm seeing is they're not being supported in their sexuality, in their orientation. So it's sort of like you have this one thing, and it's devastating to us.
So sex,
us being the family,
sex just makes it way too much for them to handle.
Right. Wow. And you know, we have people who display certain behaviors and have said certain things, and I believe we've got quite a number of people who are either bisexual or
trans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or leaning. Mm-hmm. And definitely questioning. And the way it's handled is don't discuss it. That's for the parents. We don't have the right to talk about these things. And if we talk about it, maybe we're somehow influencing the
behavior. They don't board at the facilities. Do they live at the facilities?
No, they don't.
It's like a daytime school hour.
Right, they come in, we do volunteer activities, we go out in the community. There are work programs and recreational activities. But, you know, it's Pride Month, and I'd like to be able to...
Some of the stories.
Yes.
Are you allowed to share any of them?
One of the biggest stories is a gentleman who was removed from his home because his father was abusive, physically abusive,
right.
Because he's like, nope, you're not going to be gay. And if you come home talking like this, dancing like this, you know,
What is his condition, the reason he is at your facility?
He's autistic.
Oh, so it's hard for him to even fathom why his father would be doing that.
Right.
Yeah. Must be very horrifying and confusing.
Right.
Yeah.
And another really quick, sad story is we have a gentleman who clearly loves men, and he talks about them all the time.
Mm.
And anytime he gets his hands on a website, it's, you know, Magic Mike or some dance video or something about men's fitness. And he's got good taste. He likes fit men. And he once, we were having a conversation and he started crying because he said, I wish my mother was dead because she doesn't like me talking about this guy that I like.
Wow.
I'd be very sad.
If
my mother died, but then I could be with this guy. He made the correlation of, I can't live my life while my mother's alive. Yeah. So she's going to have to die.
Oh, that's so sad.
Mm. Wow.
And he was so conflicted, it caused him to, you know, he was
shame
so upset
guilt.
And he was crying and, yeah. And I'm just like, wow, how is this a thing? Just love your child and let your child, and we're talking about a man who's 40.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Haunted.
Yeah. So, but it's Pride Month.
Have you seen any success stories? I mean,
well,
proactive parents. And
outside of my program, there are other programs within the organization, and they actually have they have meetings. They have an LGBTQ group,
right.
And mm-hmm. and they created this thing called Safe Haven. And if you see these signs on certain places, it means it's free. You can go in, it's a safe space, you can talk. Mm. If you feel like somebody is harassing you on the street,
oh, wow.
or whatever. So it's a place for people
Do
to get together and talk. I could find it out.
Let's call Safe Haven.
Yeah. But, so there, you know, I was really excited to learn that this is happening
yeah.
with this population. It's just not happening at my program.
I'd like to hear that on the news.
Yeah.
They could use the promo, too.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride,
yes.
everybody.
Happy Pride.
Wait, the look on your face. Priceless. I love your irony and your heart, your big lion heart. Legs has a, speaking of lion hearts, she's Sag heart.
Actually, my moon and Mars are conjunct in Leo.
Oh, okay. I could see
my
that.
Rising is Sag.
No. Oh, and you're Leo.
Yes.
Where's your moon?
My moon is in Aries.
Wow.
Let me tell you something, ladies. My rising is Leo, and my moon is in Sag. Bam.
What?
Fire.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just took two cats. Well, I have Pisces rising, and you're a Pisces.
I'm a Pisces.
So.
This is true. And what are you, Machine Dazzle?
I'm my sun is in Capricorn. I'm Virgo rising, and my moon is in Scorpio.
Fabulous.
Yes, yeah. Makes so much sense what you do so well.
And I'm a Scorpio.
Well, okay. It's.
That's
my
black
moon Lilith is in Virgo.
I'm agnostic. That's right.
Juliet.
I want a chemistry book right now. Okay, ladies. I want to learn about genetics.
That means anything goes.
But before we get on to genetics, I would really love to hear the latest spiritual forecast from Sage.
Aww.
Legs Malone.
She's a wise
honored.
Woman.
She's a wise woman.
I'm so honored,
really
guys.
Is.
Thank you so much.
The biggest part of burlesque.
Aww. One of the smartest women in burlesque.
Yes.
I've said this many times.
It's true.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. When I discuss, this is going to sound like a, what do you call it? My mom does this all the time. The compliment's a backhanded compliment, but
oh,
it's
yeah.
true. I always say, this is terrible, because it's kind of a backhanded compliment to burlesque
say?
Women.
Yeah.
And I don't mean
Careful.
Don't mean it to be that way.
Careful.
I don't mean it to be that way. But when I talk
woman.
About, you're in the list, you're on the list. When I discuss the smart women of burlesque, it's like, Legs is always on it, you're on it,
okay.
Velocity. It's not a
Thank
very
you.
Long list. That's why
oh,
it's like,
oh,
I'm being bitchy. I'm being a little bitchy. But I'm just talking about like, the intellectuals. It's not really an intellectual, come on, let's be honest. It's not an intellectual art form, really. It can
Have
be.
You seen our
it
art?
Can be.
Let's speak in.
I don't
want to
be negative, but I'm just. That's,
let's
I would say she's
intellect.
A
and go into the spiritual world.
Yes.
Of Legs Malone and her very white witchy perspective.
Yes, exceptionally white. If I was a rap star, I'd be called
yes.
Alabastard.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That's my rap name. You're already actual wasp, too, aren't you? Are you like half
I'm half wasp, half immigrant.
That's
yes.
right, that's right.
I mean, more recent immigrant. But thank you, Velocity, for
yeah.
asking that. I'm so, it's that, thank you so much. I think, I feel like oh my God, I'm feeling moved to like, have everybody like breathe. First off, you know, I almost want to be like, put your feet on the ground, close your eyes. You know, if you want to just take a couple of nice deep breaths, take a moment with you in this moment, breathing into your body, breathing into what you want, breathing into the thoughts and awarenesses of who you think that you are, because you're so much more than that, but it's good to be aware of those perceptions all the same. And I'm just feeling moved. We're passing through such a profound moment of transformation that I just want to encourage and wish upon everybody to come back to you, to come back to what matters always, 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 right to the center of your heart, even if your inner critic is like flipping out right now. That's totally cool. This is something I just learned yesterday, but basically self-love is the grand prize. Everything else is just scenes in a play. So I want to offer that to everybody as we move into these very uncertain, wild, swiftly changing times, both in weather and humans and everything else.
Planet.
And yeah, absolutely, planet. Yeah. We're going up a grade, going up a notch. So I just want to wish upon everybody, you know, remember, like, A, always trust your gut. B, just keep coming back to you because you know best. Just always keep listening to you. As long as you come from your heart, you can do no wrong. Here endeth.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Namaste.
That felt great.
I was just going to say that. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And
cheers.
And we will be
drinking the hard stuff here. Taking a little Mexican Coke.
Taking a little breakies.
Yes.
Listening to a cover of I did with Dave Sussman.
Dave Sussman.
John Lennon's Imagine on that note.
Fabulous.
Be right back. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Not the only one.
hope someday you'll join us.
Fallen Woman, and I am here with the remaining Fab Two. We have Juliet Jeske and Machine Dazzle.
Mm-hmm.
We are late in the evening enjoying our little soiree. It's the late night crowd. And Juliet, I wanted to tell this story real briefly. Since the election, I have had a serious uptick of trolls, the kind of people that you delete and block.
Immediately.
And you don't feed them, you don't engage. And the amount of delete and block that I've had to do since the election is unprecedented. And they're all white men. Shocking. You know, for me, it actually was, because I just don't like to believe in generalizations or stereotypes.
Yeah.
But it was fully living up to the generalization and the stereotype.
I had one today.
But wait, hold on. Yeah. You posted something that really moved me this week. You shared an article of, the headline said, Texas passes bill requiring women to hold funerals for their abortions.
And miscarriages.
Right.
That's...
So I felt, you know, I stand by that. I don't stand by the bill being passed, but I stand by the reason you shared it and what you had to say about it. And I did my own 2 cents and shared it. And lo and behold, another troll was found upon my friends list, because I don't allow people to comment unless they're on my friends list.
Yeah.
So I'm just
in the same way,
weeding out all the trolls, you know.
Yeah.
In a way, it's a blessing, this whole nightmare.
Yeah.
In a way, it's like the cockroaches are coming out to the open, and you can pick them out and delete them if you need to.
Yeah, I defriended at least a dozen people within a week of the election.
Here's what he had to say.
Oh my, I want to see this.
Yes, his name was Andy Manilow. I say was, because I deleted him. I didn't delete him, I just defriended him.
Yeah.
He went in here and said, is it still here? He kept it up there. Okay. All right. He wrote, what hype? The law simply requires those performing abortions to either bury or cremate, period. No funerals, period. I wrote back, you don't get it. You don't get it. The requirement you speak of is a reductive approach to human rights. Many who have abortions are already under duress and strife and can barely afford said abortion, much less the cost of burial, not to mention the PTSD one is already undergoing if the pregnancy in question is a result of rape. Like, you know,
there's so much
rape is so common.
Yeah.
And it's never with a condom, rarely.
Yeah.
And lots of pregnancies happen from that shit. So what are you going to say to those women? What kind of funeral are you going to have for your rape baby?
What's so absurd about the law, too, is the vast majority of abortions nowadays are performed from a woman taking a pill, sitting in a doctor's office, and then simply having her period. So you would have to take like a maxi pad and whatever tissue is on that, which is going to be nothing, because these are very, very early term abortions. They like to think of them as being surgical, but nowadays they're just not done that way anymore because they're safer to take through a drug. So you take a pill, you have pretty much a heavy period, and that's it. So you're telling me that a woman has to bury that or cremate it. That's absurd. They like to think of it as late-term abortions, which are incredibly rare. So it's just a way to shame women, to make it more difficult for them to have an abortion, to make it more... And the miscarriage side effect, too, is that they want to go after women who have had miscarriages, which is completely absurd, because 1 out of 10 pregnancies naturally just spontaneously miscarries. It's a miscarriage is so incredibly common that we all know women who've had multiple miscarriages, and most of those women wanted those pregnancies. So to add more grief, shame, more of a financial burden, then they have to like prove that it was a miscarriage and not a botched abortion or an intended. I mean, it's just absurd. It's this way of controlling women's bodies, and that we only exist to procreate, and that's it.
It's very Handmaid's Tale.
It is. Yeah. It's twisted stuff.
Laughably thoughtless. I can't even believe it.
I mean, it's shocking.
Like, really, it's shocking.
Abortion has been going on.
Like I said, thinning the herd, man.
When
I really think
I get
just
really,
trying to thin
I get
the
really
herd.
Angry about this because. When Christopher Columbus first came to
we'll
the New World...
We'll be going back to coat hangers.
I mean, there's evidence of abortion going all the way back to biblical times. And when Christopher Columbus, probably, I'm sure, pre-biblical times, when Christopher Columbus first discovered the New World, he wrote about not just abortion, but infanticide happening in the New World among the primitive people when things got desperate, when they were broke, when they had no food, when they had, you know, when... When people got desperate, they did desperate things.
Right.
And one of them was abortion, and one of them was infanticide, which also happened quite... Now, I'm not advocating for infanticide. That's actually killing an actual separate baby, living
sentient being.
But
yeah.
To act as if nobody would advocate for infanticide. But that's been the reality of humanity for millennia. So to act like abortion is somehow a new... scourge on the earth, and that these women are just, you know, they don't want to know their place, and they want to live these lives, and they want to...
That's a myth.
It's just total myth. This has been going on forever.
It's economics.
Yeah, it's the main reason why women have abortions.
90% of the time, it's economics.
Because they can't afford the child, or...
You well, know, and then there, like I mentioned before, there's a huge chunk that goes unsung and unspoken for, because it wants to be swept under the carpet. And most women are too afraid to report it to the police.
Yeah.
Or too afraid to go to a court of law and persecute the person. Usually just rape often gets swept
yeah.
under the carpet. So I guarantee you, as one myself, there's a lot more out there that are uncounted.
There's rape victims. There's incest victims. There's...
Oh, fuck yeah.
Women who already have children that they already have to worry about and feed and clothe and care for. And they get pregnant again, and they look at their two small children or three small children and think, I can't add another one to this. I have to take care of the ones that are already here. That's what literally Christopher Columbus wrote about in his journal, seeing the primitive women doing. And if he thought for a moment that that wasn't also happening, you know, in Europe, of course it was. It's been going on.
He just wasn't in the streets witnessing
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and it used to be, and it's interesting too, because these people say, they use religion as a way to dictate this, but when you look at the Christian Bible, there's some mention of vaguely about abortion, but there's no prohibition on it, not really. There's been some arguments that there is, but you kind of have to twist it and interpret it in a certain way. Jesus Christ in the four Gospels never spoke of it once, nor did he speak about homosexuality. So these two things that are supposed to be so huge to the Christian faith, abortion and homosexuality, are not discussed at all by the prophet, by the Son of God, according to their religion, in the entire freaking book.
Right.
So, and infanticide, yeah. again, was incredibly common because people were desperate. Life was, you know, when you're talking about something like 2,000 years ago, when your average person lived to be about my age.
They were still doing human sacrifices.
Yeah, people, I mean, it was a rough time.
Yeah.
So people were like, okay, I have two babies I got to feed and take care of. I just got pregnant. I can't take care of this third baby, so I'm going to go to the shaman or the healer of the village, and they'll give me a potion, I'll drink it, and that's how I'll induce a miscarriage. And that's exactly
right.
what women did.
Right.
So, because, I mean, it was like, people starved to death. People, like, it was a brutal, brutal time. And now women are in similar situations where they just get terrified of, I don't know how I'm going to make it, you know, because this idea that people have children so they get more welfare, the welfare they get is so tiny, it's such a small amount.
Right.
Food stamps is like a pittance. So, yeah, I mean, and
people in prison even get fed better than that.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just...
and that's not saying much.
I just think, too, is like, why would you want to put, if you, women who have abortions when it was illegal, we know that reality. And you can go to places like El Salvador, where it is criminalized, and you are thrown into prison if you perform an abortion. And in some cases, if you try to save the mother's life during a difficult pregnancy, the doctor can be thrown into prison for that, and the woman can be thrown in prison, and that happens. So this, it's just so crazy that the one thing that we go back to, like, medieval times.
And we're overpopulated. Unlike medieval times, we're fucking overpopulated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And why would you want to bring a child into the world that's not wanted?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. George Carlin said it best. War.
Yeah.
They need soldiers.
They just want to keep people down.
They need few opportunities that are willing to die for their college education.
I mean, if you look at it from a twisted capitalistic...
They can keep their war machine.
And if you look at it from a twisted capitalistic way, if you have more people who are willing to work for... You know, if you have more impoverished people...
And if you're not slave labor in the prison system, then you're going to be, the human shield.
Well, and it's either... You either have soldiers or you have slave wage workers. So if you have more people in desperate situations, they won't demand higher wages. They won't demand better working conditions. They'll just work and shut up and then commit crimes. You throw them in prison, make money off of them when they're in prison. It's this bleak, bleak reality.
It's the same reason pot's illegal.
And they don't want certain groups of people coming up. They don't want them coming up. They want
to
keep them down.
Good reason to arrest somebody. Yeah.
Right. So I get very worked up over this because I think that law is just absolutely barbaric and sick. And again, if you want to see reality in this world this time, right now, in 2017, of what happens to women in situations where abortion is criminalized, look at what happens in El Salvador. You literally have women, mothers, who have other children, who want the baby, have a difficult pregnancy, and something goes wrong, and they literally die needlessly because the doctors are too paranoid to intervene on the pregnancy. They just say, you know, to hell with it. And the woman dies, loses the baby, both die, and they go, well, it was God's will.
Yeah.
Literally happens. Or like a 9-year-old will get impregnated by a stepfather in a country like that, and they just say, oh, well. And there have been cases where people have fought, saying, can we do something, you know? And there have been several cases of minors who were impregnated by a step-parent or a father or a brother, and they're not even able to get an abortion in some of these countries. It's just, I don't understand. Women are just treated like garbage.
I don't understand it. I mean, rest assured, if men got pregnant, things would be a lot different.
A lot different, yeah.
I just don't understand any of that. It doesn't make sense at all.
There's this, like, deep,
can't.
Deep fear of an emancipated woman. I think to certain sections of the male population have a incredibly deep-seated fear that women will figure out, hey, maybe I don't need to get pregnant, and hey, maybe I don't need a man, and then I'm going to take over the world. Which is a little absurd. I don't think, I think there's
it's a myth, and it's
a myth.
Reaching like most
I don't think
do.
Women are really going to, like,
the tall tale.
Do any of this stuff. But there's this idea, too, that I'm going on, I'm just rambling, but there's this whole, I'm obsessed with
I want to know how Machine Dazzle feels about all this. Let's bounce this off.
Well, I was just saying that I was if men got pregnant, they would be treated a lot differently. Mm-hmm. But we keep talking, it was something you keep talking about, it's like the women having to deal with it. And I'm like, oh my God. And meanwhile, it's almost as if it doesn't take two to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Where are the men during all of this? And where's their penis? Where do they go? Where did that dick go?
They're off-spreading their seed.
I mean, it's considered that it's perfectly, the woman gets blamed for getting pregnant. The woman gets blamed for pretty much everything. And the man gets, off the hook. And it's funny because I'm a little obsessed with the alt-right because I hate them. And I tend to get obsessed with things I hate, because I'm a joyful person. I don't know. I'm kidding. I'm making fun of myself.
I hate them, too.
But I hate them. And one of the things that they...
Absolutely.
The ideas
as
that
you
they...
well know.
Well, we
long,
really hate them. But one of the things
this.
That they really promote is the idea that women would be happier if we just accepted our roles
as... Our biological purpose.
As mothers and housewives.
Yes.
And they act like that is this rosy, beautiful thing. And I'm like, dude, do you know why there was a women's movement? Because the scenario that you're painting is doesn't always work out. Like, yeah, some women, and that's great. If some woman gets married and they have a happy marriage and they have children and they're a housewife and they're very content, I have no problem with that. But don't act like that is that fairy tale happens for everyone. Marriages fall apart. Men abandon women. This has been going on forever. So then you're saying that I should be treated like a second-class citizen and I shouldn't have opportunities to work and find work and get paid the same amount of money and do the same things if I'm able to do them, like, because I'm a woman? Because, like so, I mean, my marriage was a joke, so, like, how many other women, like, I can't even tell you how many friends I grew up with, because I grew up blue-collar, whose parents, whose fathers, mostly, just abandoned them. So, like, what...
Oh, I was definitely one of those.
Yeah, so what are those women supposed to do? They get married, they have their babies, they try to do the housewife thing, and then their husband just up and leaves them. What are they supposed to do? Like, yeah. what happens then? The alt-right guys never talk about that.
My grandmother took a big role.
It happens to a lot of people.
In my life at that time.
It's not a new trend. I mean, some women abandoned their children, too. That happens, too.
My grandmother took over my marriage.
But this idea that, like, our, you know, ideal... Our deal lives in this very rigid little narrative is a farce, because marriages don't work out for any number of reasons. Because, like, my uncle was abandoned by his wife, and they had two twin boys. Mm-hmm. She just split. So, you know, he was stuck being a single dad. It happens to both genders. It is just this idea that you should just live for a marriage and then you'll be happy is just crazy.
And then there's some couples that keep having children to think it's going to save the marriage.
Yeah,
you know, somehow
yeah.
It rekindles the flame a little bit, and then I think it is, I don't know, I've seen that happen more than once.
Well, and then
I think
got,
we all
and
have.
Then you, and then you've got some people who feel that if they have a baby, they can get government assistance.
Yeah.
And the more babies they have, the more assistance they'll get.
It's not a lot of money.
Right.
I've seen that.
Well, you also see. I can't tell you, like, I have a friend who I work with whose parents had him 20 years after his brother.
Wow.
And you're like, that is, they're only two kids and they're 20 years apart. And his parents divorced soon after he was born. And I'm like, I kind of could probably put money on why they had you. I mean, I bet you were planned. And I bet you were a very wanted baby, but they probably were like, the marriage probably was falling apart, and they thought, no. Remember how great it was when we had the first one. So we'll have this other kid, and everything will be great again. And, you know, it was just too fractured.
Right.
And then, divorce is just so common, and it happens again for so many reasons.
Well, and then so many of these unwanted children that don't get aborted end up in the foster care system.
Yeah.
And I have to say something about the foster care system for a second. I saw something that really shocked me. What shocked me is this. There are still, to this day, most states in this country don't have any laws governing this, what I'm about to tell you, whatsoever, and it's shocking. There are groups online. Yahoo has cut down the groups because of the scandal that occurred. There are other groups, though, that still exist online where it's like a foster, it's like an adoptive parent forum. And as an adoptive parent, you can, if the child is traumatized and acting out and you can't handle their PTSD, you can go on this forum and rehome them. Almost like a house pet. And it just Google it.
No,
folks.
It does.
It's
yeah,
no
I've
joke.
Heard of that. Yeah, because they're
and it's a huge hotbed for pedophiles.
Oh, gross.
To pretend this is the big scandal why Yahoo had to cut that group. A bunch of pedophiles figured out the system, got on there, and were like, "I'm a good parent. You can rehome them to me." And there's no mediator. There's no professional. There's no nothing. It's just between them, and they just drop the kid off at this place, and it's supposed to be okay. And there's no law, hardly, in this country. A few states have them now, but not many, to modify this. And these children are just, like, thrown to the wolves, basically, because they showed up a little bruised
Well, it's like, it's like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you know, even in nature, when you have your, you know, a natural child, your own blood child, you can't, you know, you can't choose your child, you can't choose your parent. There's going to be problems somewhere along the way, and you adopt someone, and there's problems.
As far as I'm concerned, if you can adopt a kid, you might as well have given birth to them. You don't have any right to rehome them. They're not a house pet.
Well, it's like what I said, my... someone I know.
They're not a fashion accessory.
This is one of the things that I always say when someone, like, I've known, I've never been pregnant, I've never had an abortion, but I've known women who've had multiple abortions, and some people will say, no one here, but I've been in mixed company where someone says, oh, well, that's just awful, what a horrible person. And I stop, and this is my ultimate retort. I say, would you want that person to be a parent? If they went through five freaking abortions, six abortions, I don't think they're meant to be parents. Okay?
I
think they're better off not having children.
Or maybe they're just in a really rough patch.
And then they get over it.
Maybe later, you know, they'd be ready to have kids.
Yeah.
But they're making the decision. They know that they're not ready to have kids.
Yeah, because I can think of one, and I won't say who this person is, but I know of somebody who has had multiple, admitted it, and she... I don't want to say who this person is because I don't want to bash her. I'm not going to bash this person on a radio show. But she is somebody who did have a kid and, you know, wasn't there for her kid. She literally physically left and was kind of a, you know, dodgy parent. And she had one kid and six abortions. And I just thought, well, thank God you didn't have seven kids.
Right.
Because could you imagine? Like, she wasn't there for her one. She just
had
other stuff going. She was too unstable. She had too many problems. She had too many issues.
She couldn't cope with motherhood.
She couldn't cope. And some people are just not meant to be mothers.
Oh,
it's not in their wiring.
Some people are definitely not meant to be mothers.
And why would we want to force them to be? So they can have kids that are miserable and resentful. And exactly. I don't get it. Life's so hard. Why are we trying to make it harder? I mean,
and I think it was in the movie Parenthood, Keanu Reeves gave a great little analogy. It's a movie from the 80s, kids, millennials who are listening. Anyway, Keanu Reeves in his young days was saying, you know, he came from an abusive home in this movie. That was his character. He said, you know, you need a license to drive a car.
Yeah, you don't even have a kid.
You have to have a... Why can't you get a... Shouldn't people have a license to have a kid?
Well, we do.
And I believe that, actually...
We do absolutely crazy things.
But then again, you're putting the government's hands, and then where it can get corrupt.
And the other thing,
it can be a dodgy
And the other thing, like, medically...
Ideally, it's
a
brilliant idea.
A little... You know, I'm assuming most of our audience probably agrees with us politically, I would guess, if they're tuning into a show called Fallen Woman.
They're tuning in because they hate me or because they hate me.
But there's another little fun for the science nerds out there is one of the things that the pro-life movement tries to push all the time is they say as soon as an egg and sperm are joined, that is a human being. That is false. Medically, that is false. Because
let me bring out the alphabet.
That's
a
tradition in your body.
Because this is how this actually works. This is actual how human conception works.
I want to hear this.
The sperm hits the egg. The cells do not multiply until the egg affixes to the wall of the uterus and starts to grow. Now, this natural process, the reason why that's a huge difference is that sperm and egg meet and just fall right out of the uterus all the time. It happens naturally all the time. It's a common occurrence. So this...
What, you mean that feeling when the fucking cum's running down your leg?
Well, a little bit.
That's why Donald wants
sort
to build
of.
That wall.
But like this idea that... There's a huge difference though, because not all... When you say, oh, but it happens at conception, and you're meaning egg, sperm, meat... It basically remains frozen until it hits the uterine wall. It does not reproduce. It does not. The cells do not splice. They don't do anything. It just sits there. It's inert, and it has to fall out of the uterus. That's why frozen embryos kind of just sit there in kind of suspended. What is that?
Stasis.
And the other thing. Okay, I'm going on my abortion rant, but like I just get so worked up about this. You never
likewise.
See them protest in front of a fertility clinic now, do you? Now, there's some hardcore pro-lifers who might. But you're talking about a fertility clinic that has tens of thousands of frozen embryos, most of which will never develop into a human being, most of which will sit there, maybe a few get used, and they have to be discarded after a certain period of time or used for medical research. That's just the way IVF works. They have to make more embryos than actually turn into babies. So, who's calling those women murderers? They don't call those women murderers because they're making babies. Well, they're also making embryos that never get turned into anything.
Right.
So this hypocrisy
where's
makes
the line?
Me nuts. If we were going to say it's okay to use technology, you know, if you're going to say it's okay to use technology to put a woman on hormones, to develop ovums, and then take her husband's sperm, join those two in a lab, put that into liquid nitrogen for how many years, take it out, put three inside a woman, one takes, one hooks up against the uterine wall and forms into a baby and actually is a successful pregnancy. Maybe she went through 7, 8, 9 embryos to get there.
Yeah.
You're not going to call that woman a murderer. Nor should you.
Are they going to get a proper burial?
Yeah. Are they going to get it? Exactly. Exactly. And here's a great analogy that I love to use against the pro-lifers. If you had an actual baby and a canister that held 60,000 embryos.
By the way, I'd like to think of them as the anti-choice.
Yes, anti-choice.
Yes.
If you had a living, breathing baby, an infant, and you had standing next to that infant a container that held 60,000 frozen embryos, and the building was on fire, and you could only take one thing, are you going to take the container full of embryos, or are you going to take the living baby? I think you're going to take the living baby.
Hallelujah.
If a woman wants to use IVF to get pregnant, I see nothing wrong with it ethically. I think it's great. And I want to make that very, very clear. I just think it's ridiculous that one thing, like a teenager terminating a pregnancy because she was raped, is, you know, pure evil, and that another woman who might have to go through 12 embryos to have a live birth is like, oh, well,
for
you know.
For money, usually.
Yeah. It's like, I don't think any of it's evil. I think if we have the technology to replace a heart in a human being, and we have the technology to switch organs with one another, and we have the technology to give us artificial joints and things that keep our hearts beating, we have the technology to take sperm and an ovum, boom, make embryos, you know, give people who could not normally give birth naturally the gift of that birth.
Of life.
That is a beautiful, wonderful thing. I think IVF is wonderful.
Yes,
so
I agree.
There's nothing wrong with it. But I don't understand ethically that's what I'm saying. I just want to make it very, very clear. Because I have many friends who are the result of IVF. And I think it's great. I think it's great when anybody, like, you use a surrogate. You use, donated eggs. You use donated sperm. Whatever you need to do. It's beautiful. That's great. But I just don't get that hypocrisy because they do. That's what they've been using donated embryos for research for... this stuff started.
Julia,
I'm getting all worked up.
Gonna shift gears.
Yes.
Well, speaking.
Machine Gazelle, I did have a question.
Oh, sure.
What was the last thing you said about?
I'm just ranting about abortion.
You really are. Wow.
I get very worked up on this. I'm pro-choice all the way.
I'm 100% pro-choice.
I want you to throw your two cents in on anything that gets you worked up.
Anything that gets me worked up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually a pretty calm person.
I know. You are.
I'm a very calm person.
I'm not.
You know, I am a cyclist, and I will say that getting on my bike every day is a lesson in anger management. But I think anyone who gets behind a wheel, entering the public domain is a lesson in anger management because you're dealing with strangers, all kinds of people. Stupid people walking down. I mean,
or careless people.
Careless people.
Who have their priorities a little twisted because of stress.
Their priorities a little twisted.
New York City energy.
I know. Yeah. I don't want to admit that New York City has stupid people in it, but it does.
It's very frustrating. There's a lot of reckless, chaotic energy.
I used to ride a bike in Chicago, and it always just there were times we just went to. just stop your bike and start just screaming because people are so frustrating.
Mm. You were saying.
Oh, you know, but I could actually relate just one little thing to what we were talking about, the anti-choicers. Anti-choicers. Anti-tasters, choicers.
Yes.
Years ago, back in 2003, I was protesting the Carlyle Group during the Bush administration. Uh-huh. And I was part of a group called the Glamericans. Glamorous Americans for Peace.
And who is the Carlyle Group?
The Carlyle Group are basically a bunch of CEO, money-making businesses. They make money when America goes to war. They produce the kind of things that...
War profiteers.
War profiteers. Yes. That's what the Carlyle Group really is. And so when a war is waged, they're making money, and then that money was going back into Bush's pocket because they were Bush mm-hmm. supporters. Mm-hmm. So our chant was, no war, no profits, no business as usual. And we were out there like 8 a.m. in the morning, and I was in drag, and I was pretending to be like a Texas oil woman. fun. And my other...
I wish I could see a photo of that.
Well, there were a bunch of... we were arrested.
Oh,
now I was part of a group. We were on the sidewalk across the street from the Carlyle Group. It's in Midtown. I want to say maybe it's 56th Street.
Midtown.
No, the actual Carlyle Group. It has an office.
Uh-huh. And why were you arrested exactly?
We were arrested because they wouldn't tell us why. They wouldn't tell us why. Fucked. But actually, we ended up suing the city, and we won, and we all got settlements. Of course, that didn't happen until years later. Yeah. But what I wanted to say about that day was, I was in drag, and another friend, Linda Simpson, was in drag.
Linda!
Of course,
she's
Linda.
She's been
course.
A fallen woman, too.
Oh, I bet she has.
Hello,
oh,
Linda, if you're listening.
Hi, Linda,
we love
you. You know the story I'm about to tell. And so, I don't know, if you're going to get arrested, I actually... highly recommend that you be in drag, because what happens, or at least what happened to me and Linda, was we were separated from the men. We were put in the ladies' section of the jail in our own cell. They totally separated us. Assuming if they put a drag queen in with the rest of the men, there'd be trouble. God knows.
We put you in with the women.
Yeah, God knows what happens. So me and Linda were saying, we did everything. We experienced the bad food, the bad lighting, there's a toilet.
No.
You had
look
to sit
at how
on.
Bad I look in this lighting.
Girl, and these shoes
the
are still killing
fresh
me.
Air.
And no, totally. And you had a little sink with like really gross sink, and that was your water source.
Pubes
and then you had a toilet that was open for everyone to just watch you do whatever you needed to do.
Just a big old metal pan slapped onto the floor.
Oh, you got it, baby. Yeah.
The fact that they put the drag queens in with the women is like one of my things.
That's pretty amazing.
Wow.
That's good.
Well, I had a police officer ask me if I had a penis. and I said yes.
What look at like, do I know
it's called
you?
A tuck, what? Sir. It's called a tuck.
This is because you were in your younger, more gamine days. I guess.
Exactly. I was just thinner. I was just thinner.
Weren't we all?
What? We were all thinner back in 2003.
I was.
But Linda and I were sitting there, and it had been like quite a while, and not a lot of people passed in front of the cell, but all of a sudden, there were these women with young girls passing in front of the cell.
What?
I know. I was like, children. Like, young girls.
What
like
are they doing here?
Well, I love the way... Linda kind of like... She couldn't quite reach around, but she was... Hey.
And you're both in full regalia.
Full regalia.
Yes.
Like, fully done. And hey, so what are you... Why are you in here? They were in there because they were laying in front of the abortion clinic.
They were arrested?
They were arrested for laying in front of the abortion clinic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because you can't block it.
You can't block it. It's New York City.
Anti-abortion.
They were anti-abortion.
Anti-choicers.
Yeah. And so I thought, so that was funny. We were like, oh, my God. It's like, I was just imagining, well, what the hell did they think of us? two total drag queens. How did they feel about we're in with the drag queens? Did they feel chic?
Oh,
or did they feel
God.
Like extra, like, oh, Jesus Christ.
See, I would...
I should be so lucky.
That's what I think.
My parents were super, super strict Catholics, so they used to take us to anti-choice rallies when we were children. And so, and I was born in 73, which is the same year as Roe v. Wade. So they used to call us Roe v. Wade babies. Thank you.
I was born in 72.
Hey!
Yay. December 30, 72. We're like so close.
I'm here November 1st, 1970.
I know. Oh, my God. I can't even handle this. I can't even handle this.
Yes.
So anyway, so I would go to these anti-choice rallies and see these horrible images. So I was just a few shades away from those little girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now my parents have two incredibly pro-choice daughters. Oops. And,
wow.
And I think my brother is totally pro-choice.
Did your parents vote for Trump?
No. That's the weird thing. They're like old. My parents are kind of like old school.
They're Catholic, but they're liberal.
Yes. Yes. Well, they were union members.
Okay.
So that supersedes. They're still like, if you were asked both of my parents, they'd say, oh, we're against abortion. Okay. They would identify as pro-life, but they vote for Democrats because they just think Republicans are awful. So they're like, it's not worth that one issue. My mom has sometimes wavered, but they're like, well, it's weird though, because if you actually sit down, my parents, they'll say stuff.
I said, fuck the fetuses.
I know. They'll say things that are very interesting. Because if you actually sit down, my mother, and talk to her about it, she'd say, well, that should be a woman. It shouldn't be my business. And so you're like, well, exactly, that's what pro-choice is all about. Like, she's really not as radical as she used to be. Like, I told her, I said, hey, mom, I read this article where they were releasing the names of women who had abortions. It was some pro-life group. Don't you think that's pretty nasty? And she goes, oh, that's horrible. That's nobody's business. So she's not really as you know.
Not everybody is as out as we are.
There's degrees of pro-life and pro-choice. There are people I know, too, that would identify as pro-choice who would say, well, I could never have one myself, which is fine. That's the whole point of choice. So, you know, and I'm in the same way. Like, when Lena Dunham made that horrible comment, I don't know if you remember, Lena Dunham made some ridiculous comment, like, I've never had an abortion, but I wish I had. And all these women are like, just shut up. Just stop talking.
I remember
because it was just,
when I had mine, I was,
I don't think it's something,
the last to go in the waiting room.
I can't.
And,
that would be.
I was in the back of the room, and I watched all the others go before me. And there was one woman waiting beside me. She was very waspy. And not the kind of person that would typically talk to me. I mean, I had a big fat lip ring and a mohawk, and the top of my head was all like dookie braids at the time. And, you know, I admittedly, to someone like her, I would look insane.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, man, she fucking said, can I hug you? And okay. And so we were left alone, it was just the two of us left behind, and we were hugging each other. She started crying on my shoulder and weeping, and suddenly I became her minister, like, or her preacher, her confessor.
Mm-hmm.
And she started confessing to me that, you know, she was heartbroken because she loves this man, but she can't let him know that she's pregnant or having an abortion because she just finished law school and got her degree, and she has an entire agenda, like a future planned for herself. And she doesn't want that to be interrupted. I think that's a worthy reason, too.
Yeah, I mean,
it was not an easy choice for her.
No, and I just think my thing is it should just be between a woman and her doctor. And I don't think how anybody should else, because it's still part of a woman's body. I just don't think it. And conceivably could kill the woman if something goes horribly, horribly wrong in
Absolutely.
Pregnancy, which is always a possibility. I just don't think anybody else should make that call besides the woman and her doctor. And whatever they agree about. And what, it's not me to judge why. Like, it's not my body, it's not my decision. I or the government should have no say in that. You know, because the late-term abortions are incredibly rare, and they're most always because of some sort of horrific medical reason. Usually something's wrong with the fetus. Something's horribly, horribly wrong with the fetus.
Or she might have like a tilted uterus or something. You know,
like babies with no brains, like really horrific stuff where there's no way they're going to live or the woman's life is in danger.
Or her immune system may not be up to par.
Yeah, and most of those women are absolutely traumatized
to
do it.
They're very susceptible
to
things like sepsis and blood poisoning.
Yeah, I mean, and they can't even. The thing that killed me about Trump is he made this comment during one of the debates
where at 9 months they just go in and rip it out, and it's just physically not, that never happens.
No one does that.
Because it's not even safe to do that. They
no
wouldn't
one
do that.
Does that.
They wouldn't do it. It's not medically safe because the uterus is so stretched at that point. You could potentially kill the mother. They just don't do that. Right. You know, late term abortions happen in the third term, but they don't happen in the ninth month. That's called an actual birth, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it's a stillbirth, you know? And
yeah.
I mean, we all have to do, if you don't believe us,
go
online and read about some of this stuff. It's horrible.
Lead this into what you would like to say to everybody right now, your closing quote.
Resist. That would be my closing quote. Fight back, because we are in a dire circumstance right now with what we've got going on with the presidency and Jeff Sessions and the Supreme Court, and I'm beyond my childbearing. I might have a couple years left, but, and you know, whatever. I'm not, if I got pregnant, I would totally have that kid.
This is your closing quote?
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is like, I want to fight for the next generation so that they will not be put in horrible back alley situations, so they will not be desperate, so they will not throw themselves downstairs or do horrific things to their body to try to put their own lives in danger.
With Ajax,
all the horrible things, the barbaric, horrible things that women used to go through just a couple generations ago. I will fight like hell so that a 13-year-old who's raped by her brother or her father or stepdad.
Oh, who just made a bad decision.
Yes, or was manipulated by an older... The majority of teen pregnancies are conceived by men, by adult men. Now, that'll blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at stats like that, which are true, that it's adult men who are manipulating young girls and who don't know any better, who aren't
sometimes
sophisticated.
Sometimes it's just misguided puppy love.
Or that, too. That happens, too. I mean, all of it.
Shotgun
just,
wedding, all that.
I don't want my sisters coming up to face that reality. You know, I don't want them butchered. I don't want them bleeding in back alleys. I can't. I will fight like hell.
I hear you.
Sorry.
And Machine Dazzle, what would be your closing?
My closing
mantra, if you will.
Mantra.
I'm
very instinctual. And I like to say that I believe in God because I believe in myself. I think that God is my highest form of self. And I trust myself. I trust my instincts. When I say, oh my God, I say, I'm like, oh my everything, my life, everything I've ever seen, everything I've ever experienced, you know.
My existence,
like everything. So I would just like to, I don't know about a mantra, but I just like you to think about that. When you really think about yourself, you know, your highest form of self, and look inward. You know what's right. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. I believe that.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
And cheers.
And cheers.
Cheers, salute.
Yes.
L'chaim.
L'chaim.
All the ones I can think of.
So, hey, what's the Japanese one again?
What's German?
Kampai.
Kampai.
German's like one word.
German, Prost?
Prost.
Prost.
Russian.
Oh,
Prost.
I
Russian.
Think Swedish it's Skull.
Skull.
Skull. Skull.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey,
Julie.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Thank you, Juliet Jeske Machine.
I get all worked up. Get me started on abortion. I go on for days.